Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11? I've entitled this message, What Faith Does. What Faith Does. Let's begin reading in verse 33 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now the who is a reference to everyone he had mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and he mentioned quite a number of the Old Testament saints. And he said, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turning to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in the mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, look at the things that faith does. That's a remarkable passage of Scripture, isn't it? I admire these people who by faith did these things, and I want to consider what faith does from this passage of Scripture. But before we consider what faith actually does, we first ought to consider what faith is. It won't do me good to know what it does if I don't know what it is. So what is faith? The faith spoken of in this passage of Scripture that people would go through these lengths because of the faith that they possessed. What is faith? I want to make sure I have the same faith, don't you? I want to have the faith these people had. What is faith? Well, look in chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And notice the word our is in italics. It wasn't in the original. Whatever faith is, Christ is the author of it. And Christ is the finisher of it. He's the source of it, and he is the completer of it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That faith, it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you and I do not understand what faith is unless we see clearly that it's a divine gift. If you believe, you know there was a time when you didn't believe. And you do now. And you know the reason you have faith is because he gave it to you. Don't you just know that? If you have faith, you know the reason you have it is he gave it to you. You couldn't come up with it on your own. You tried to believe, but you know you can't try to believe. You either believe or you don't. As long as you're trying to believe, you're not believing. Faith is the gift of God. It's a supernatural gift, and you can't really understand faith until you see it is a gift. Now, what is it? The first time faith is mentioned, the first reference to faith in the Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 15, where it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what faith is. It's believing the Lord. Now, the Lord made a promise to him. The Lord said, Abraham, you look at the stars. Can you count them? So shall your seed be. Now, at that time, Abraham didn't have any children. Sarah's womb had been closed. But he believed what God said. It's that simple. It's believing what God has said. He didn't have any evidence. He couldn't say, well, all he had was the fact that God said it. He couldn't see anything. He didn't have any children. And he didn't have the ability to have children. And Sarah didn't have the ability to have children. Sarah had already gone through menopause. Her womb was dead. He couldn't see any evidence that this would take place except for the fact that God said it. And he believed. He believed. I hate that saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, no, no. God said it, and it is eternally settled. Now, I believe that, but my believing it doesn't have anything to do with it being settled. God said it. It's settled. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I have a hope. A hope is a confident expectation with regard to the future. I have a hope that when I stand before God in judgment, He's going to look me over and He's not going to see any sin. He's going to see me perfect, righteous, justified, sanctified, just like Christ. That's my hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I can't see that I'm justified. You can't see that I'm justified. You can't see that I'm perfect before God. All you see is a man, a sinful man, a weak man. You can't look at me and say, he's perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Well, what's the evidence that I am then? Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Do you believe the gospel? Are you relying on the Lord Jesus Christ as your righteousness before God? That's the evidence that you are righteous before God. Faith is believing the gospel. Faith is believing what God has said. Now, understand. Faith is not something you decide to exercise. You don't decide to believe. I've tried. You don't decide to believe. The only time you believe is when you have no choice. You believe because it's so. And you really don't have any other options. That's when you believe. If you're deciding to believe, you've never believed. Faith is not a choice. It's not a decision you make. You believe when you can't do anything but believe. You don't have anywhere else to go. You don't have anywhere else to look. That is faith in Christ. You look to Him only. Now, faith is the most powerful thing in the world. It is the saving grace. By grace are you saved through faith, simply believing what God said. Believing that Christ is all you need to make you accepted before God. And you're holding on to that. By grace are you saved. Believing that salvation is all of grace and not of your works. Believing that by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And it is the most powerful thing in the world. It links us to omnipotence.
You know, what I'm saying is, I think, do I believe it when I say it? I hope I do. But you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's the words of the Lord. All things are possible to him that believeth. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Faith is such a powerful thing. Not that the faith itself is powerful. It's an instrument. That's all it is. It's the power of God that's powerful. It's not faith, strictly speaking, that saves me. It's Christ that saves me. Faith believes that. Faith rests in that. And faith links me to God himself. And that's how powerful this thing of faith is. It's the most powerful thing in the world. And you can't take that too far. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the evidence that God's done something for you. It's the evidence that God loves you. It's the evidence that Christ died for you. It's, as many as were ordained to eternal life did what? Acts 13:48, they believed. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What is the evidence that Jesus Christ has died for you? You believe the gospel. If you don't believe the gospel, I can't give you any hope. But if you believe, that's evidence that Christ has done something for you. How do I know that I have the new birth? Faith. Faith. Faith is the evidence that you've been born of God and were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, we cannot emphasize enough the importance and the preciousness of faith. Isn't that so? Faith. Believing God. You know, the greatest thing that can be said of a human being is that they believe God. That's the highest state you can come to. You can't come to it unless God enables you to. I realize that. But oh, to be someone who simply believes God. Now, this faith works. This faith is very powerful. In Christ Jesus, circumcision doesn't avail anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, what I want us to do is look at this passage of Scripture that I read initially. There are 11 things that the writer to the Hebrews tells us that faith actually does. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now, the first thing faith does here is it subdues, or it conquers, or it gets the victory. What kind of victory? We'll turn to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, the world he's speaking of. This is greater than any military victory. Look in 1 John chapter 2. You're already there in 1 John. Look what he says in verse 15. Faith overcometh the world. What world is he talking about? He says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desire of fallen sinful nature, the lust of the eyes, being concerned about what men see, being controlled by the fear of man and what they think rather than what God thinks, the pride of life, self-righteousness is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Believing the gospel, I'm not overcome by these things. What's that mean? Let me tell you exactly what it means. I want you to listen real carefully. When the Lord Jesus Christ was being tempted by the devil, he first attacked him with the lust of the flesh. He'd gone 40 days without eating. And the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he said, it's written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He tempted him with the lust of the flesh, and Christ defeated him. There's my victory. There's my victory. Next, he tempted him with the lust of the eyes. He brought him up on that top of that temple. And he says, if you're the Son of God, prove it. Let us see it. Give us a demonstration. Prove it to us by jumping off, because the Scripture says the angels will catch you. Prove it. Let us see. He wouldn't do it. He said, it's written, you shall not tempt the Lord God. God said, this is my Son. That's all that's needed. I don't need to prove anything to you. He didn't have to prove anything to them. He was not defeated by the lust of the eyes trying to impress people. And then the pride of life. The devil brought him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all this is given to me. I'll give it to you if you'll fall down and worship me. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He defeated the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you know who else defeated when he did that? I did. Every believer did. Here's the great example of that. When he said to John the Baptist, right before his baptism, he comes up to John the Baptist and he came to be baptized. And John the Baptist said, you come to me to be baptized? I have need to be baptized of thee. And the Lord said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So when he defeated the devil, I did too. Faith conquers. Next, back to our text in Hebrews chapter 11. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now look what it says next. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Secondly, faith through faith, they wrought righteousness. They wrought, they worked out righteousness. Through faith, they wrought righteousness. Now what's this all about? Well, the Scripture says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You have to be righteous to work righteousness, don't you? Now, look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That's what God said of him. He offered this more excellent sacrifice, and God testified of this man, he's righteous. Now, it doesn't simply say that righteousness was imputed to him, although it was. It says that he in his person was righteous. Now, how's that? Because I know that in and of myself, I'm nothing but sin. And I know that as sure as I'm talking to you. So what does it mean to be righteous and to work righteousness? Because it says by faith, they wrought righteousness. They worked righteousness. What happens? Well, this is what happens. When God saves somebody, he gives them a new nature. That's what the new birth is. A holy nature. What is it that loves God? My old nature? No. My new nature. What is it that serves God? My old nature? No, my new nature. Now, here's an example of this. It would be Lot. Lot. If you look at Lot, find me one thing about him that seems to be righteous as far as looking at him in the Old Testament account. Yet the New Testament account speaks of his righteous soul that was vexed by their unlawful deeds. He was given a righteous nature. And that righteous nature works righteousness. Now, the best way I can I can understand this. A believer is righteous by imputation. A believer is righteous by impartation. And the best way I can understand that is by considering what happened in the garden. Adam sinned. Adam fell. And his sin was imputed to me, so that I became guilty of what he did. That's what the scripture teaches. But not only was his sin imputed to me personally, his evil nature was imparted to me. And that's why I'm born into this world with a sinful, evil nature. His sin was imputed to me. The sinful nature was imparted to me. Now, in the same manner, Christ's righteousness, his perfect obedience, is imputed to the believer. And his righteous nature, Scripture says we're partakers of the divine nature, is imparted to the believer in the new birth, a holy nature. And that is the nature that works righteousness. And this is only realized through faith. Through faith, they wrought righteousness. And next it says, back in our text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. The precious promises of God. Now, I love to think of the promises of God. The promises of God are, there's the unconditional promises. What's an unconditional promise? That means he said it and it's done. There's nothing I got to do to make it fulfilled. He had made us accepted in the Beloved. That's an unconditional promise. By grace, you're saved. That's an unconditional promise. Not you'll be saved if. The unconditional promises of God are the I wills and thou shalt. Because he wills it, it's going to take place. And then there are the conditional promises. What are those? Ask and you'll receive. All right, I'm asking. Seek and you'll find. All right, I'm seeking. You promised I'd find if I seek. Knock, and it shall be open to you. Okay, I'm knocking. These are conditional promises. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a conditional promise. Whosoever shall call, Lord, I'm calling. Save me. All of these promises, that faith receives them, obtains them. I hear these unconditional promises in the Bible. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I lay hold of it. I believe it. I believe that all God requires of me, I have. I believe that because of his unconditional promises, it can't get any better for me than it is right now. You believe that? And by faith, we hear something like, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what we do? We call on his name. Lord, save me. Save me by your power. Save me by your holiness. Save me by your justice. Save me by your grace. All your glorious attributes. Faith obtains the promises. Oh, the precious promises of God. I'm so thankful for them. And then what it says next in verse 34 of our text, or verse 33, next, faith stops the mouth of lions. Stops the mouth of lions. Now that is a reference, you know, to Daniel being put into the lion's den. And I love thinking about this. Can you imagine being lowered into a den of hungry lions? Lowered down into that pit. And there he is. And they don't touch him. They were roaring and so on, but they don't touch him. They were kept from touching him. And he comes back out of that pit the next day. I love reading that passage of Scripture. Darius saying, O Daniel, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee. He says, live, O king. And oh, the king was so happy because he couldn't figure out a way to get him out of the lion's den because the law couldn't be changed. That's a beautiful gospel story. But here's the point. Here's the point. Humanly speaking, what chance did Daniel have to get out of that lion's den alive? Humanly speaking. Hungry lions. A helpless, weak man brought in. There was zero chance. Zero chance. But through faith, that which would have happened, didn't happen. Faith
stops. Stops the mouth of lions and stops a whole lot of other things. Through faith, that which would have happened didn't happen. And next he says in verse 34, faith quenches the violence of fire. And I have no doubt that's another reference to something that took place in Daniel. You remember when those fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king said, if you don't bow when you hear the music, you're going to be cast into that fiery furnace. Now, I'm giving you an opportunity. And who's the God that's going to deliver you from my hand? And I love the way they replied. They said, our God's able to deliver us. But let it be known, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. We'll go into the fire before we do that. And then they take those three courageous, faithful men, courageous and faithful by the grace of God, throw them in the fire. What happens? Nothing. The fire doesn't touch them. And the king looks in and he sees another. He said, didn't we throw three in? But I see four. One made like unto the Son of God. The Son of God was with them in the flame. It quenched the violence of fire. Faith quenches. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 says, above all things take the shield of faith, whereby ye shall able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, say no to temptation. Don't give in. Doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work. The only thing that quenches temptation is looking to Christ. And the temptation leaves. You never pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. I'm not going to give in. No. Now, the only thing that quenches temptation, the harder you try to fight against it, the worse it gets. The only thing that quenches temptation is looking to the Son of God. Looking to Him only. You look to Christ and the temptation leaves. It's not that you licked it or beat it or overcame it. You just look to Christ. It's only faith in Christ that quenches temptation. Next, it says in our text, in verse 34, they escaped the edge of the sword. Faith escapes. Hold your finger there and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is what faith does. I used to dislike this verse of Scripture before I knew what it meant. It troubled me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And what is that way of escape? Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Faith escapes. Back to our text. Verse 34. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong. You know, Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Faith doesn't operate through human strength. It only operates through human weakness. Not strength, but weakness. Oh, would to God that you and I could learn what that means. Out of weakness we're made strong. Turn to Romans 4. Romans 4. Verse 17. This is speaking of Abraham. As it's written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, that's complete weakness. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Out of weakness, he was made strong. You find me one weak sinner in this room. I mean, you really believe that you have no strength, no spiritual strength, completely impotent, unable. And I'll show you somebody who the mighty power of God is on. And he's given you that look at yourself in order to trust him as your salvation. Oh, when you're weak, when you have nothing, it's easy to trust Christ as your Savior. But when you're strong, that's when all the confusion comes. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Daniel 10:32 says, "They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Oh, strengthen me with might in the inner man. Their faith makes strong. Now let's go on reading back in Hebrews chapter 11. They waxed valiant in fight, turning to flight the armies of the aliens. Faith makes one courageous. They wax valiant in fight. Now, how is it that faith makes one courageous? I can tell you exactly how faith makes one courageous. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord's my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. If you really believe the Lord is for you, you can't be afraid of a man. Not really. Not really. I know that we realize that apart from God's grace, we will be controlled by the fear of man. But by his grace, believing that he's for us, not afraid of men. We're courageous in that sense. We will confess Christ regardless of the cost by his grace. If we believe he's for us. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Turn to Psalm 27. Let me show you that in the scriptures. You see, faith is a very powerful thing, isn't it? All these things that it does. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Simply be found in Christ. All the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, while I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Faith makes one courageous. Now back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Women receive their dead raised to life again. We have several instances of that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Women receive their dead raised to life again. But here's the point I want to make about this. I like this word reception. Faith is the receiving grace. Faith is the receiving grace. Now, all we have, we receive. I love that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul says, "Who makes you differ from somebody else? And what do you have that you didn't receive?" Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? Faith is the receiving grace. Faith receives. Let's put it this way. Faith is the hand of the beggar
that receives charity. That's what it is. All that God gives you, you receive. And you receive through faith. And this act of reception, false religion tries to make this as the cause of salvation. You received it. That's why you're saved. When you see a picture in the paper, would you see headlines, beggar receives charity. Isn't that wonderful, that beggar? No, not at all. The reception isn't the act of salvation. There's no salvation apart from reception. We receive all of His blessings. We take Him. It's the empty hand that receives what He gives. Faith is the receiving grace. Believers are receivers. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Faith receives God's blessing. And next it says in verse 35, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Faith won't sell out. It won't do it. Now, when I say that, I know,
and you know about yourself, that if God removes His hand from you, you'll be just like Peter. You'll deny that you even know the Lord. You know that. But that being said, He gives you the grace. You won't be turned. You'll die for what you believe. These people did. Look what it says about them. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They wouldn't sell out. They chose this direction instead of selling out. They would die for what they believe. And this is how powerful faith is. Would you die for the gospel you believe? Now, I realize that you know apart from God's grace, you won't. But do you also say, by His grace, I will? This is a gospel worth dying for.
Then it says in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now,
they obtained this good report not because they were willing to let their bodies be sawed in half rather than deny the gospel. Not because they died for what they believed. Not because they were not willing to sell out in any way. This is not how they received this good report. They received this good report through faith.
If you read about Sarah, when the Lord came and told Abraham that she's going to have a child, what did she do? She laughed. She didn't believe. And then the Lord said, why did she laugh? And she even lied to the Lord and said, I didn't laugh. Yet when God gives testimony regarding her in the New Testament, by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Moses, he goes out and watches his kid or watches his brethren when he's somebody in Egypt, and he sees somebody mistreating one of his brethren, and he murders him. And he's scared to death by doing that. And he hides the man's dead body in the sand and flees in fear. And yet when God gives the New Testament testimony of this,
He says, by faith, Moses didn't fear the wrath of the king. You see, the only way you and I are going to get a good report card is by faith. Now, I hope by the grace of God, we can exemplify everything in this passage of Scripture. You know, I want to be somebody who quenches the violence of fire and out of weakness is made strong and waxes courageous. I want all those things, and you do too. But those things don't have anything to do with me getting a good report. My good report comes from Christ Jesus, my righteousness before God. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. And I love to think of Lot. Lot, if you read the Old Testament account of him, name me one good thing that you see. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for the New Testament, people would say Lot couldn't have been saved. He couldn't have been the way. I mean, when he was in Sodom and they were getting ready to pull him out, he lingered. He didn't want to leave. He stayed there. And the angel had to yank him out. When he's given that opportunity to take the well-watered plain or the bad one, you know, he let Moses have the bad one. I'll take the good one. I mean, everything about him seems so fleshly. Yet when God speaks of him in the New Testament, he says, just Lot. And he speaks of his righteous soul. Now, how can that be said of a man like Lot? Same way it can be said about me. Faith. That's the good report. Believing the gospel. This is, simple faith. Believing Christ is my righteousness before God. It's the highest attainment. And I want that faith to cause me to live just like these people. Don't you? Faith works. And a faith without works is dead. Being alone. I want this faith that works just like this. But these people obtained a good report through faith. Now listen to me. I don't care how sinful you are in and of yourself. If you believe the gospel right now, you stand before God without sin. Is that good news? By faith, they obtained this good report. So what does faith do? It subdues, it works righteousness, it obtains promises, it stops the mouth of lions, it quenches fire, it enables to escape, it makes strong out of weakness, it makes courageous, it receives promises, it doesn't accept deliverance, it gives a good report. Thank God for this faith. Oh, that you and I might exemplify the faith that we read of here. Let's pray.